the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. This is episode number 123, and we're going to be talking about when you're most frustrated with your game tonight. And it's something that every single golfer goes through. And really what separates the men from the boys, so to speak, is how quickly you can bounce back from it. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to kind of acknowledge it and how to move through it and get your game back, you know, to where it should be as quick as possible. So this is something that everyone's had experience with. And, you know, it's going to be something that we can really give you some pointers that you can get back on the horse as quick as possible. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. As always, I have Mike here with me. Mike, let's do a quick check-in. How's your game been?
Everything's going well. I mean, this is an interesting topic because it's timely, especially coming off of Oakmont, watching the best players in the world get really frustrated out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange seeing that every one of them getting frustrated. But, you know, I've been calm and cool out there, Frank. It's been good. You and I have to get out. We haven't played yet.
No,
I don't know what that's all
this
about.
Season, yeah.
We have to do that because there's a lot of things I think you and I feed off each other well out there.
Yep.
We kind of pick up a lot of things on each other. So I'm actually looking forward to doing that. Playing in a couple of days. Got a really awesome new range finder in the mail from the folks over at Leopold. Really cool hunting company. So I'm going to do a full review of that at the site. I'm excited to use that thing.
Yeah, you shot me a picture of that thing. It's like Star Trek, man.
Great razor, red laser. It's amazing. And then I'm shooting stuff in the backyard just to see the accuracy and how it works. And what's cool about it, Frank, is you could put in your club distance. So when you shoot your target, it instantly tells you 6 iron.
Wow.
It's like a caddy.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Yeah. And you're right about Oakmont, man. Did you see even like Spieth, like one blow up everybody was showing where you're saying like, how is that
how
in the bunker?
Yeah. You know?
And it's true. It's like, it's a lot of things to take into account when you are playing bad. It could be that you're not playing well. It could be just the course. We talked a couple episodes ago about just kind of re-gearing your expectations of your game, you know, depending on things like course and slope rating. So a lot of it has to do with perspective, but you know, we're human. We have emotions. It's going to happen. And really, it comes down to just training yourself and training your ability to recognize that frustration and overcome it. I mean, really, when we start to look at some of the greatest golfers of all time, you start to see the one really big separating factor is their mental strength. You know, the guys who are mentally strong out there are the ones who are winning, you know, multiple PGA Tour tournaments and, you know, European Tour tournaments and things like that. It's that mental strength that really makes it happen. So there's elements of it that you can work into your game too.
Yeah. And what's interesting about frustration is there's so many things, there's like so many little bits and pieces of your game that you could be frustrated with while other things you could be loving at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some clubs in my bag that just frustrate me. I just can't hit them,
Yep. You
know, and there's some other parts of my game that are just so frustrating when I can't fix that certain thing. So, you know, there's multiple little frustrations out there and try to like keep those all together. You know, it's a process.
Yeah. And that's something that's really cool that you brought up because it's not even in, you know, the stuff that we want to talk about tonight, but it's a good point that it's maintaining that perspective that if there is one or two things that aren't working, you know, trying to focus on the things that are working, that is important. But the other thing too, Mike, is we've got on our list here, we have a laundry list of episodes and topics coming up, but two things that we're going to talk about is one is how to get mentally over that hurdle for that one or two clubs that you just can't seem to hit.
Right.
So we're going to do a whole episode on that. And that's a big part of frustration.
Great.
And another one we're going to do an episode on is how to finally like get over that one course that has you beat. You know, everybody's got that, whether it's the course you're playing every weekend or if it's that one you play once a year on a trip you guys do or something like that. And it's just like that course has got my number every time I go there. We're going to talk about that too. So there's different elements. You're right. It's not just all or none with frustration. So we're going to dive into a little bit of each one of those.
Yeah, man.
Okay. So one thing I want to do though, before we start to talk about tonight's topic is talk about one thing that is rapidly becoming, I think, my favorite part of the show, Mike. And that's where we talk about everyone who's kind of been writing into us.
Yep.
And especially I love to hear when people are making progress, you know, these little small wins, these goals that people are hitting. So keep those coming. There's so many ways to get in touch with us. You can email us at podcast@golficity.com. golffizzy.com. You can also, you know, send us a message in the new Facebook group. I think that's one of the best ways, honestly. I mean, we see that even before we see our email. Everybody with an iPhone or any type of smartphone has it where it's popping up and you're seeing it on our screen now. So that's a great way to get in touch with us. Give us the feedback of what's working, what you want to hear. That's how we've gotten a lot of these show topics. Check that out. I'll link to it in the show notes, which you can go to by going to golffizzy.com/episode123. You can also just, if you're on Facebook, just search, you know, the golf podcast in groups and you'll see it pop up. But let's just talk about a couple quick ones. One that I thought was really cool, it's just actually a message on our Facebook page, was from Glenn, who he shot a picture of his desk at work, and he said a bit of light reading on his lunch break, and he was showing us that he's reading Zen Golf. So we've talked about that so many times, and actually we're going to talk about that again tonight, because that goes down. It's on my bookshelf right over there, Mike, as my favorite. You know, as far as most actionable stuff that I learned from about my mental game came from that, Zen Golf by Dr. Joseph Parent. So Glenn, I appreciate you sharing that. I love in the picture too, he's got his coffee mug is the Hoff.
That was great.
So I got a good laugh out of that. And then, so that was from Glenn. I appreciate you leaving that feedback. Then we had also, this is a really, really cool breakthrough. Daniel, back on the 14th, left on our Facebook page, you say, listen to your podcast today and went straight to the course. Photo shows the results. Closest I ever was to an ace, about 3 feet from the pin at 140-foot par three. So how cool is that?
That's awesome.
Right there, you know, shooting almost had an ace. And I love that too. Listening to the podcast, he went straight to the course. So like, I love that motivation, taking action, making it happen. Daniel, definitely appreciate you writing in and telling us about that. And then
Frank, I have to be honest. Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
What I love so much about these success stories as they come in, they're actually very motivating. They inspire me because once I read them, you know, I find myself just going back out to the course because I'm seeing so many people improve as a result of what we're talking about week in and week out. And it's really kind of amped up my practice game. You know, it's amazing. I love it.
And you know what? That's why I love hearing from the listeners so much, because for so long, so many episodes, you and I are talking about, you know, the progress and the things like that that we were making. And that's awesome, you know,
right.
But I love hearing it from, you know, other people too. And that's why we started this podcast, Mike. That's why we started this thing 2.5 years ago, as we said, hey, we're out there. We're not pros. We're just having fun learning this game. Let's talk about it and let's share it. And if other people, you know, pick up on it as well, and they get a little something out of our journey, our personal journey with the game, then bonus. And seeing people do that. I mean, we get emails from people talking about how they shot their best score ever and stuff like that. And, you know, just love it. I mean, I just keep them coming. And here's the other side of that too, is we learn from you guys. You know, sometimes some of the tips that we hear are just outstanding. Mike, one in, for instance, that came in just the other day, an email from Juan, who just said he just started listening to the podcast, you know, and he was working out different things through the winter, and he had this awesome tip. I think he actually said he got it from one of the colleges where he first heard it. But what he does is indoors, this is something you can practice indoors when it's cold, you can't be outside. I mean, you could do it other ways too, but this is a great thing to keep that game honed during the winter months if you're someone who goes indoors for the winter. But what he does, he gets a 3-foot yellow metal yardstick. Right? You've seen those before, Mike, right?
Sure.
So he says, I think he got his in Home Depot or something. And what he does is he sets the ball on one end with the goal of putting the ball off the other end. So challenge, right? These things are only what, 1.5 inches wide? Something
right.
like that. You got to put a perfect dead straight roll for 3 straight feet on it. And he said he read one time that members of a college golf team had to make 50 in a row each day during the winter.
Wow.
What they were doing is they were assuring that they would be able to put that ball right on the line that they chose. And we talked about this before about the pros and how it's amazing how they can hit their lines exactly as they want to. So really cool. And he said that since doing this, he's so confident with 3-foot putts. He says he's made hundreds of them. He's made even 50 in a row in some practice sessions just from doing this one little tip. And he said it really helps the mental game too, because sometimes when he's out there and he gets that 3 foot putt, mm-hmm. he can just mentally visualize that yardstick because he's been practicing with it and seeing it physically for so long. He can just kind of project it mentally down there and just roll that ball in. And what's so cool about this, it's so timely, is I think it was just one or two episodes ago, we were talking about the yips. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna talk about that on a future episode as well. But people were saying they were struggling. You know, we had fans writing in saying, I'm struggling with the yips. Well, I'll tell you what, if you are struggling with the yips on those short putts, here you go. You know, mm-hmm, this is definitely something right off the bat that you can do that's going to really help you. So Juan, really appreciate that. Thank you for writing in with that tip, because that is, that's an excellent one. And I really appreciate it. And hopefully our listeners will get something out of that as well.
Imagine the muscle memory putting stroke you'll develop from that drill. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people do struggle with that, you know, pushing putts and pulling putts. And it's definitely something I should be doing. I have to go out and get one now.
Right. And especially something like, put it on your list of things to do when it's winter and we're bored out of our minds because we can't hit the course, you know. And then you think about that. Everybody worries about, oh, my game, you know, went out the window during winter. Now it's like, I can come out strong knowing I can putt right down that line.
Right.
I tell you, it's a whole different ball game. And it's simple enough, cheap enough. I mean, people spend so much money sometimes, you see, on these training aids, and we only talk about the ones that are worth putting the money into. But here's something you could spend like $3-4 on, and it's probably one of the best short, you know, putting training aids you're going to be able to find.
Yeah, I've been convinced.
Yeah. So, All right, Mike. So let's do this. Let's do a quick word from our sponsor, and then we're going to jump right into talking about how you can finally beat those golf game blues. Okay?
Let's do it.
Hey, podcast fans. Want a chance to win an exclusive one-on-one training session with golf fitness expert Michael Brantle? Well, listen up. Today's sponsor, Ultimate Golf, is offering just that to one of our lucky listeners. It's free and it's really simple to enter. Just tell UG via email why you deserve to win this exclusive prize worth over $150. Michael will help you discover where your fitness levels are and what you need to do to play your absolute best. Your session includes a fitness regime with exercises tailored to meet your personal needs. And you'll even get a nutritional plan to ensure you're getting the most out of your training. Just send your entry to michael@ultimategolf.com with the subject line, Pick Me. The winner will be chosen in just a few weeks, so get those entries in now. And Michael himself is going to be announcing the winner on our podcast in the beginning of July.
Yeah, and don't forget, UG is looking for professionals as well to boost their tremendous training platform. Essentially, there's a stage for golf pros, teachers, instructors, coaches who could promote themselves, their classes, their academies, and even new golf products for any of those inventors out there. So here's an outlet, a chance to distribute your content online to a huge tribe of golfers in excess of 100,000 people. So check them out. You can find them at ultimategolf.com/workwithus. Once again, that's ultimategolf.com/workwithus. Now back to the show.
So Mike, playing golf is always fun, except for those times when it isn't.
Right.
Right. I mean, we've all felt that sentiment. I started at the top of the show saying it. Every golfer knows what we mean. Everyone has gone through that struggle. Even people, you're playing at the top of your game, and then all of a sudden you have one bad round or a bad hole or two, and you just seem to be, you know, frustrating is all as you can imagine. You know, it's just mm-hmm. like, especially when you feel like your game is headed in the right direction and things are going really well, and then all of a sudden it kind of takes the wind out of your sails. And this could happen even if you're not a highly competitive golfer. You just want to go out there and enjoy 18. So it's something that, like I said, it happens to all of us. And I think, again, what I said at the beginning of the show, what really separates the good golfers from the guys who kind of plateau and never really go anywhere is that mental ability to bounce back quickly. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how you can do it. And I want to hear from everybody out there too. You know, was there a time when you were really frustrated with the game? What did you do? How did you bounce back? Let us know. You know, post something in our new Facebook group. just let us know what you struggled with. And chances are you'll hear other listeners writing back that they share a similar story. And I've even had before some listeners write in and tell me, you know, they gave up the game. You know, the real extent, the real, you know, total going above and beyond frustration is when somebody says, I totally give up the game. And I'll, you know, try to lightly encourage them to take a small break, but then just work their way back in. And when they follow up, it's usually a good story where they say, you know what, you're right, I'm glad I did. And to be honest with you, I half don't believe them anyway, because if you're a golfer and you've had fun and you've, as they said, caught the bug,
right,
we work our way back to that course one way or another. You know what I mean? Even if after a while, kind of like the steaming goes away and you've been away from it for a little while, and then all of a sudden you're like itching to get back out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you're talking, I keep thinking about the classic Seinfeld when Kramer comes in and throws his clubs down and says, do you want these? Because I stink, you know? Yeah. But, you know, we've all been there. You're absolutely right. And you're right. We always find our way back. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk about it first. Finding yourself in a rut, right? You know, even golfers who absolutely love to play the game can fall into a rut from time to time. I mean, even professionals can fall into a rut from time to time. We're seeing some of the guys like Ricky Fowler right now, you know, who's on top of his game at the end of last season, top five in the world. He just missed the last three straight cuts. You know, Jordan Spieth coming off, you know, number one and all of the great things he did last season. You know, he's got to win this season, sure. You know, and he's been spotty here and there, but you could see the frustration, especially in the majors for him. What you saw happen to him at the Masters and now the U.S. Open, he finished like in 38th or something like that. And these guys get in ruts. You know, it happens. But I think the most important thing to do is first just acknowledge it. You know, the most important thing you can do is just take a step back and say, you know, all right, I'm a little frustrated with the game right now. I think I'm a big advocate of this. I think sometimes just saying it and verbalizing it out loud can be something that can kind of take some pressure off yourself. Mm-hmm. Just by saying like, you know what, I am frustrated with my game right now. I'm frustrated with the game in general. And many golfers, they just pretend that they're still having fun and they're out there and they're just not finding it all that enjoyable. So being willing to admit it, that's where you can start to get down to work on finding ways to make it fun again, to get back your game, to enjoy the game, to do things like that, because that's what it's all about. Very few, I would imagine, of our listeners are actually getting paid to play this game. So if you're not having fun, that's where it comes down to, like, what's the point? So you got to remember, you got to remind yourself sometimes that it is something that's fun and you have to have fun when you're out there. But just by doing this, and we're all about on this podcast about learning. We're about, you know, not being afraid to admitting to mistakes. I mean, you and I, Mike, we do it in a public forum. We'll tell you when we all of a sudden had a terrible round and shot 90 or something like that, because, right. You know, we know it's there's ups and there's downs and you can get back from it. You can bounce back. So the first thing that you need to do after you've kind of just acknowledged it and verbalized it is just to take a step back. And I'm by no means saying quit the game. I would never be an advocate of that, because there's so much stuff to love and enjoy about this game. But there is something to be said sometimes for just taking a kind of a breather, just taking a step back and just being able to gain some perspective. And I'm not going to put a time on it, because for everybody, it's going to be different. For somebody who's playing all the time, it might just be to take a step back for, you know, one, don't play this weekend. Skip one of your weekends or something. For other people, it might be take a month off. Take a month off from the game and just kind of get away from it and just let your mind kind of like let it go for a second. And it, like I said, it could really be different things, but what you're going to do when you do this, you're going to gain that perspective and you're going to start to, you don't have to force yourself to, it's going to come naturally. You know, if you, like I said, if you've got the bug for this game, it's just going to start to sneak in where you're going to start to realize how much you really do still enjoy that opportunity to play golf. And when you do decide to come back, you're going to have that fire reignited. And Mike, this could come from a few different things. We're talking about frustration. I think that the main thing that we think of when we say that is that our game is bad or whatever it may be. But frustration and just general unhappiness with the game can also come from something as simple as just maybe you're just getting a little bored with it. Maybe you're playing a little too much and you're kind of plateauing or something like that. I mean, right. Mike, you've had it before because you play so much even for work, where sometimes it's more of a almost a have to than a want to, so to speak, right? And you get out there and you be like, you know what, I just want to take a couple of days off, right?
Yeah, I know, and I hate saying that because I know a lot of people are throwing their cell phones. but I totally get what you're saying, and there's so many things that can lead to that frustration. Absolutely, I try to manage it. I mean, taking that step back, I love this one because you can apply this to basically anything else in life too.
Right.
But I love it here with golf because some of us like me who get out there so much, yeah, it does get exhausting. Lower back starts to hurt. I start thinking about that. My mental game starts going out the window. You know, I got to play again tomorrow. Yes, it's great. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it gets to me. You know, definitely.
It does. And again, it's what that's perspective that comes in. So again, frustration might be playing poorly, but it also might be something, like I said, plateauing. Right? Mm-hmm. You're starting to play the same over and over. You don't feel like your game is getting any better or worse. And you're just kind of getting frustrated with it. So taking your example, Mike, where you say it can be apply anywhere. It made me think as we're talking about this. One big thing that I really like, one of my favorite things to do, I'm a big sucker for watching like those cooking documentaries. Yeah. I love watching like chef stories. I mean, I love to cook myself. So I love watching that. So many times I've seen this where they're chefs. They love cooking, they talk about their passion. They always wanted to be a chef, right? And it seems like a common thread that I see all the time is that somewhere in their career, they get a little frustrated. They feel like they're not going anywhere, or they're cooking the same thing over and over, and it's just not working out. And what do? Inevitably, they take a break from it. You always hear this, like, well, my one restaurant closed and I didn't want to just jump into something else. So I took 2 months off and just traveled and just relearned about why I loved food in the first place. I just ate, you know, I just traveled and ate or whatever it may be. Or you could hear this with a writer who's like, you know what? I'm so frustrated with writing. I'm going to take a step back and just experience things. And then it starts to flow naturally. They start to realize, you know what? I miss being in the kitchen. I miss writing. Whatever.
Right. Sure.
It's the same thing with this. So don't think of it in any way as being defeated. Don't think of it as the game has beat you. Think of it as taking a step back to gain perspective. All right. And if you can label it that way, you'll understand it better and you'll be more fired up when you do come back. So there's going to be different levels of this, like I said, when it comes to time, but also when it comes to what action you're taking. So even if you don't want to take time completely away from the game, you can at least keep yourself off the course for a little while. Just, you know, because what can happen, especially if you haven't quite dealt mentally with the frustration, those bad rounds can kind of stack up. Mm-hmm. And if they stack up, it's going to lead to deeper frustration. Like I said, we're human. We have these emotions. It's going to happen. So what you can do, set aside a period of a week or two where you're just going to visit the driving range, something that you're just going to keep your swing working. And this is something too, if you're plateauing, you can go back and listen to, we got 122 other episodes where we talk about every different specific area of your game or however else you want to look at it and just target one or two areas that you want to improve on or whatever it may be. But what you can do is just by getting off the course and just working on the basics of your technique. We've said this before, Mike. We said one thing that we are so fascinated with when we go and watch the pros practice and warm up is that they're not practicing anything incredibly fancy, something that is behind like the curtain that we don't know about. They're working on fundamentals. They're working at basics, alignment, tempo, these types of things. So just get back, work on those basics, and just hit it until you start to feel like you're hitting good shots again. And when you start to feel like you're hitting good shots again, just focusing on those basics and those fundamentals, you're going to start to feel like, you know, I'm ready to kind of get back out there. And it's going to happen organically. I think that's something that you can really see. But what it comes down to is it's those stress-free practice sessions. Those are the ones where maybe you want to put aside what we've talked about before, where you can simulate stress on the range by having like specific targets and all that. Yes. But there might be times when you just want a couple stress-free sessions where you just go out there and just enjoy swinging the club. You know, I like doing that myself.
I absolutely love it. It is the equivalent to, my wife loves getting massages. I don't care for that. My massage is a bucket of balls on the range. It's very therapeutic with the headphones on, no one around me. It kind of brings me into that zone. It gets me more locked in on my golf game. It kind of brings all the mechanics into, you know, everything just starts coming together again. And it's, you totally nailed it with this one because, you know, taking some time away from playing the actual game to going over to the range, huge help to me. along this journey. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, tailor it to your personality. Some people are very structured. Mm-hmm. So you may want to say, I put everything on my calendar. So I'm going to move my, golf on the course out a week or two. So it's on my calendar. I know I'm going to play in 2 weeks, but I'm not going to play until then. And I'm going to schedule in these range sessions. And that's all I'm going to do. I'm not, I'm just going to relax and have those range sessions. Other people less structured and just say, I'm just going to take it easy. If I have a little time after work, I'll go hit a bucket of balls, but I'm just going to stay off the course for a week or two and see what it goes on. So that's something that you can definitely work on. And anybody can try applying that and see how that does. Another great thing to do is just try playing a new course. When you are ready to play again, just in the spirit of breaking up that routine, just consider a couple new courses. It can be something easier than what you're normally playing. I know, Mike, that's something you like to do. The feel good course, that confidence builder course, mm-hmm. where you just kind of hit it and it just kind of like makes you enjoy the game again because you don't feel like you're walking uphill both ways, so to speak. Just in general, even if it's a harder course, sometimes that can give you a better perspective on the game, and you can just enjoy the scenery, enjoy the reasons we love golf, and just after playing a new course or two, you might start to notice you have like a renewed excitement in getting back out on your own course, and playing your usual rounds with your friends or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of fun that comes with it, but you can also learn from it too. I think one way to get in a rut can be always playing the same course over and over and over again.
Right.
Because you get to a point, you start to play it the same way and you're not really challenged with new things. So I think one of the best parts of this game, I think a lot of people chase after that low score, but if you start to embrace and just understand and love the challenge of the game, you're going to start to seek that out more. And when you start to play new courses, you're going to be challenged with new shots that maybe you don't hit. Maybe it's different types of carries. Maybe it's different shot shapes for a course that's structured a little bit different. Maybe it's a more hilly course where you're used to a flatter course and you get to try different shots on different lies above your feet, below your feet, uphill, downhill, all these different things we've talked about on the show before. So playing a new course is a great way to get yourself out of the rut, whether it just be a frustrated playing rut or just kind of just, feeling, so-so about the game in general. And then another one, this might seem like the furthest from what you would think, but especially if you're not enjoying the game or if you're in a playing rut, but just put yourself out there and enter a tournament.
It's crazy.
It seems a little crazy, but you know what? Sometimes it takes a little guts to get to where you want to be. And what you're going to find too is that it may seem like the last place you want to put your focus, but when you're in that competition, sometimes you get a little more distracted by everything going on around you, and your mind kind of works a little harder to come up with its best performance. So we've talked about this before, Mike. Sometimes just taking yourself out of your comfort zone is really, all it takes. And I truly believe that. And I think this is something that, it might be really bad. It might be disastrous, but whatever, it's not Jordan at the Masters. You don't have 20 million people watching you. You're talking about going to your local tournament. If it's bad, you go back out there the next time and see if you can play a little bit better. But again, taking yourself out of that rut, that routine. Mike, I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but there was a great article by Troy Vanos. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's one of the writers on Golficity. And I just shared this actually in the Golf Podcast Facebook group. I think it was today, because when I this hit, I was like so attracted to this thought process he had. But he was talking about how golfers in general can be such habitual creatures, and we start to shoot. He actually talks about arguing that the fact that we don't shoot the scores we want to shoot because we shoot the scores we're comfortable with. He said something even like, let's say your goal was always to break 80 and you're always shooting 83, 82, whatever. He said, what you might not realize is you're subconsciously so used to it and so comfortable shooting there that mm-hmm. you're subconsciously not willing to take yourself out of your comfort zone and shoot better than you are. So I won't get into everything he talked about, but a great article where he talks about how to just kind of work your way through that. You know, and he even said something I talked about at the top of the show. He talks about the greatest golfers in history were not always the ones with the most talent or ability. They're the ones who could stay focused, stay patient, and grind out a round when others fell to pieces. So really cool article. Definitely check that out. And like I said, I shared that in the Facebook group, so you could see that there. But again, here's something, just experiencing that competition, it's a great way to get out there and just kind of shake things up. So, you know, no matter what it is that has you ultimately in your golf funk, you can work your way out of it with these, you know, these simple tips, these simple changes in mindset. And with any luck, you know, your frame of mind is going to turn around very soon. You'll be loving the game again very shortly. So just starting with that, just acknowledge it and then just think, all right, I'll be through this soon. I think those are two big things that are really going to help you, right?
Yeah, and you know, like it is crazy the enter the tournament thing, but I can see how that could put you in that competitive mindset. I think that can help your game. I really, if you want to put a positive spin on that, I think it could help, because I played in a lot of local tournaments, and when you're playing with that caliber of golfer, you kind of maybe shift your focus, and maybe the mental game comes back, and you kind of harness in and focus, and you know, that definitely did work for me. And you know what's frustrating too, when you're playing with someone who's frustrated.
Yes.
You know, so your playing partners can also affect your mental game big time. Mm-hmm. So playing with these group of really good golfers on this local tournament, who knows? It could do some wonders.
Such a good point. And that's why we've said before, it's a great idea just in general to play with different people and just get paired up, go down and play as a single, let them pair you up. Just sometimes a new perspective can help. You know, if your regular foursome is a group of guys or gals who are just, it seems like every weekend throwing clubs, wrapping clubs around trees, whatever,
right.
You know what? It's going to kind of sink in. It's going to kind of put a damper on you. So just having that, you know, and you could be a positive element for change too, by just setting the right tone, setting the right example with a positive attitude out there. So there's a lot that can come of it. And you're right. We feed off each other when we're out there. So anybody who wants to kind of dive into this a little bit deeper, a couple things for recommended reading. And these are things that we've identified as great. And like I said, you could go on Amazon. There's got to be like 10,000 golf books on there, but that doesn't mean they're all good. We're just looking for the ones that have stuff that actually have some meat to them and they're really good. The first one and my favorite, without a doubt, if you want to change your perspective, if you want to whatever, Zen Golf by Dr. Joseph Parent, which we talked about at the top of the show. Get it. I've got the book and I've got it on an audio book. Just like some of our listeners were saying, how they listen to the show sometimes on the way to the course. I love to listen to that on the way to the course. Great way to change my mental mindset. It's split up into different chapters. If I have a certain area that I need to work on, I'll go to it, listen to it, and then whatever. And I think he's got I haven't had a chance to read it. In fact, I know he's got a book about putting as well. This is like Zen putting or something. I got to check that out at some point. The other one is Mastering Golf's Mental Game by Michael Larden. That's good. Mm-hmm. And Golf is Not a Game of Perfect by Dr. Bob Rotella. That's another great one, because again, it's so many times we're just beating ourselves up for not playing as well as we think
right.
we should, but not really looking into it, not A, having fun and B, recognizing the areas where we are playing well. And sometimes we don't even see our own improvement. We're doing ourselves a disservice by not even seeing these areas that we've improved, because we're so harping on ourselves on the next part of our game that we need to get better at. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. I've been driving the ball incredibly well, Mike. You know, and that was a part of my game that was never very good. And, I found myself the other day, like focusing on like, where'd my chipping game go? It's just not as good as it was. You know, I haven't been playing as much as I should be. So I lost a little bit of my feel, but what I should be more focusing on is like, wow, you know, I'm hitting like 10 fairways, you know, it's like, that's pretty solid. That's not something I was doing before. I was scrambling a lot more. So focusing on those good areas. And even sometimes we've suggested before, keeping like a little log or a journal, it could be on your phone, whatever, just writing down some positive things that are going on. I think that a lot of ways that kind of trains the mind too. When you physically put pen to paper, so to speak, and you write things down, it reinforces them. Just, we've talked about this tip before, after each round, just find the discipline and the time to write three things that went well. Mm-hmm. Forget the things that didn't for right now. You can think about those next time you're on the range and try to make a range session just for that. But in the meantime, just say, these are things that went well, jot them down, and you have something to look back on. That'll serve as that encouragement for when you are frustrated. So a lot of actionable stuff.
Yeah. And my biggest thing, Frank, is just breathe out there. I mean, I can't express this enough of how I've slowed so many things down, and it's made me, my frustration level way down out there. I'm just calm. I'm relaxed. I'm not taking it to the extent of Jason Day and staring down my shots with my eyes closed, but I'm just breathing. I'm trying to have fun. You know what the new thing is out there, Frank? You've probably seen this. Guys are listening to music in their golf carts.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm liking it because, you know, they're having fun.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really bother me. I'm a musician. I'm into it. You know, having some of your, like, the music blasted a little bit, I'm sure it could bother a lot of people out there. But it shows me guys are having fun out there, and that's kind of what it's all about. Stay focused, breathe out there, have some fun with it, and, you know, take these tips to heart. I'm definitely going to do the range trick. I think after Friday, I'm playing Friday. Yep. I'm actually going to take a step back, but I am going away for a while, Frank, so I'm not going to have golf. So
That's true.
Yep.
But yeah, you're exactly right. So like just that thing and taking the breath, as you said, that in a lot of ways can be that signal where you can find if you're tense.
Right.
And sometimes it's subconscious tension. So just being aware out there and being able to bring your awareness to where that tension is can serve as a very relaxing thing. And it just helps you. So, cause I find that's one of those compounding issues. You don't realize how frustrated you're getting until it's too late. And that's when you're, as I said, wrapping a club around a tree. So take, you know, those mental, pump the mental brakes on the frustration earlier by identifying it, by breathing, and you're going to go a long way towards not getting to that point.
I'm upset that you lost your feel around the greens because you were like stellar. I mean, you were putting chip-ins all year last year and that was like your sweet spot. So it's like, how do you get that back? How do you get that feel back? I mean, obviously it's practice and play, but you know, what if you want to do it in a short period of time?
Yeah, you just got to get out there and you got to make the time. And if there's one thing that I have to kick myself for all the time is that I just haven't been out there as much as I should be. And that's where too, I have to kick myself in a way of motivation to get back out there and make the time no matter how busy I am. But on the same token, I had to cut myself some slack. You know, I played the other day and I did not shoot well, but you know what I said? I reworked my perspective. Like we talked about, and I said, you know what? I played well given the circumstances. Given the circumstances of the back trouble I've been having for the last 8 months, given the fact that I have to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and do an hour of stretching just to play so that I'm not, so I can walk the next day because my back has been so bad, you know, great. And also on top of that, just saying, having not played, there are a lot of good areas of my game.
Right.
You know, I'm telling you, Mike, I've seen it so many times where guys get so frustrated and they're out there, they're annoyed, they're throwing their clubs, they're doing all these things. And I ask them, I'm like, well, you know, I'll ask their buddies, like, how often does he play? He's like, oh, he plays like twice a year. You know, it's like, well, how can you expect? I mean, even like I said, the greatest golfers, I think sometimes what does a disservice with the PGA Tour and watching it is that we only see them competing on when we put on the television, and they look like they're just like such naturals. And yes, a lot of them have a lot of natural talent, but if you saw the work they put in to play the way they play, you know, and I love when they show the commercials where they show them from a young age, you know, and you see like that, the Rory McIlroy commercial and stuff like that, where it's like, even from like, you know, 10 years old, 11, 12, they're playing, you know, after school, before school, hours and hours and hours. That's what it takes. So if you're not playing that often, then rework your perspective. Be happy with the shots that you're doing. Say, you know, the more I play, the better I'll get. I'll have focused practice. But you know, you shouldn't go out there and expect to shoot like they do on the PGA Tour unless you're putting the work like they do in.
Yeah, it makes sense. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's everything we have. Like I said, I want to hear your frustration stories and how you got over them. Post those in our new Facebook group. That is a great way to get in touch with us and a great way to communicate with other listeners. Just go to Facebook, search The Golf Podcast, or I will also link to it in the show notes, which you can get to by going to golfcity.com/episode123. We want to hear those. The other thing too, a real big favor you can do for us is just to take a minute. If you're listening to us on iTunes, just leave us a quick review. You can do it right from your phone. We want to hear those. It's a great way for us to grow the show. It's a great way for new listeners to find out about the show. So it's a really good way you can help us. Just leave us an honest review. You know, we want to know what's working, how the show is helping you, what you might want to hear more of in the future. That's a great place to put that. So as always, I want to thank everyone for listening. We're going to be back again next week with even more instruction. Like I said, we got all these topics to cover, the yips and talking about frustration with, you know, being able to beat certain courses, certain clubs, and lots of different areas from short game to distance that we're going to be talking about and ways to improve. And we have some great guests coming up in the next couple episodes too. So you want to make sure that you don't miss a thing. Just hit that subscribe button on iTunes. That way you'll get the podcast delivered to you as soon as it launches every Sunday. And that's a great way to stay on top of everything. All right. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see everybody again next week.